everyone, welcome back to today's episode. I want to know, have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt like your world was crashing down, there was nowhere to turn? Maybe you're in a place like that now, or you have been, or know someone who has been. Well, my guest today is on a mission to bring hope to those who feel hopeless, who feel like there's nowhere to turn or no way out. And she came upon this in a very unusual way on her own show. So I want you to tune in today and listen as my guest, Dorothy O'Dell, shares about what it means to be an overcomer and to bring hope in places that are hopeless. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Let me just formally introduce you. So Dorothy O'Dell was born and raised in Ontario, Canada, where I'm in Canada as well. So we are fellow Canadians here. She has turned her love of books into her next career, which is writing them. So she wrote her memoir, The Overcomer, Facing Challenges with Faith and Courage, in 2021, and her second book, The Overcomer Playbook, in November of 2022. She's a keynote speaker as well as a producer and host of her own two powerful shows, The Unstoppable Overcomers and The Power Hour, Unstoppable Business Owner. She believes that everyone has a story and she wants the world to know about you and your story. She also has started Operation Hope, her coaching program, to help other people evolve. And after a retired Air Force veteran was on her show, Unstoppable Overcomers, and she learned about the massive suicide and divorce rate among our veteran and first responder community, she went on a mission to step up and help these communities. Since then, she has joined several veteran organizations to help ensure that they get the help they need. So powerful. Thank you, Dorothy, for coming today to share your story. And I concur. Everyone's story needs to be told because someone somewhere is waiting for that story to be heard and to help them give them what they need. So, Dorothy, I would love, you know, I've given a little bit of background to our listeners here, but I would love if you would share how you actually started on this journey of you started writing books about overcomer facing challenges, the Overcomer Playbook. And then the Unstoppable Overcomers in your show. Overcomer seems to be a common theme.
Exactly. Unstoppable and Overcoming. That's my two nicknames, right? It's funny. Do you ever go through a lot in life and you just take a deep breath one day, like 30 years later, and you think, oh my gosh, like I've been through a lot. And I don't even know how I got through it, other than putting one foot in front of the other. And for me, that was normal. I grew up in a family that there was a lot of love, but there's a lot of chaos. My parents were chronically ill. If my dad had his first stroke at 30, my mom went 20 years undiagnosed with angina and lupus. And so in that, it was, I was the oldest, so I would, take over the household responsibilities and things like that. And it was just what I knew. And so with that, I was being bullied in school and I didn't tell my parents what was going on. I was the protector of my household. And so in that, I had extreme low self-worth. And I had, I didn't really see myself as valuable back then. And, kids can be cruel and hurt people. I know that now, but back then when you're young and impressionable, that's not what you want. And so I grew up with that, keeping it to myself and just going through life, just barreling through it, like I normally do, not asking for help, just being a help to everybody. Everybody came to me. I would help everybody. I was the certified people pleaser, was in my first relationship when I turned close to 30, I guess. And it was the first guy that said, oh, he loved me. And so I believed him. And in that turned into 4 years of mental and verbal abuse. Which I finally got out of. And it was, you know, which added to the chaos. I didn't think I could get better. So I stayed in that relationship. And it was the first time, though, that I actually had friends, like a couple friends, because he had friends that were couples. And so it, that was the first experience that I had that. And I thought, oh, you know, that's nice. I don't want to give that up. You know, or maybe it's just me. You know, it's got to be me. You know, I'll try and do better. So 4 years of that. And I ended up, that end relationship ended, and I found myself on a healing journey. And in that too, like I would work with some bosses that were pretty abusive as well. Like I can remember the first time I stepped into this, the one place I was working with, and I had like a phone whiz by my head. Him and his wife got into arguments, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, why am I here? Why am I being surrounded by all this? Right. And I thought, well, you need a job, suck it up and keep going. So that was my life, sucking it up and keep going, bearing it. Didn't fit, not thinking any of the emotions. When I was in my early 20s, my uncle took his life. And so that changed the trajectory of our family as well. You know, we weren't allowed to talk about it, or if we tried to talk about it, no one really wanted to talk about it. So we shoved that down, right? And we coped with food. Food was the way of coping. If you were happy, you ate. If you were sad, you ate. If you were mad, you ate. And so that was their drug of choice. And so just really being in that world. And then I took a healing journey. It's funny. I found God in that relationship, in the abusive relationship. I had started a financial services business, and I met this lady that was heavily involved in the church. And she said, she invited me to come to her church. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And so she bought me my first Bible and asked me to come to the event, to Sunday morning. So I did. And then I come home and my boyfriend says, like, why are you reading that? Like, you're freaking me out. And I was just like, what is your problem? Your dad is an usher at the Catholic church. He's heavily involved in his church. Why is it such a big deal? Right. And he goes, well, you're just freaking me out. So, and it's funny because I had this vision. We were in Walmart with buddies of his, and he wanted this Guitar Hero. He'd be laid off and no income was coming through for him. And he had a son that we were, had to support too. And I looked at him and I said, we can't afford it. Like, don't even, we're not getting it. And so he just looked at me. And historically, I would have given it because, you know, that's what I do as a people pleaser. You want to make sure everybody's happy because you don't want to rock the boat. And so I just turned to him. I said, don't ask again. We can't afford it. And it's funny because I saw this vision that came over me and I'd never seen it before, where there was like a veil in front of me and God ripped it from the left to the right. And that was the defining moment. I had another pastor that was talking to me and they said, how long are you going to stay in this relationship? I'm like, I don't know. Do you see yourself getting married? I'm like, no, not to him. And so he goes, well, why are you still in this relationship? I'm like, I don't know. But when I find a way to get out, I will get out. And I, November of that year, I was out. It's just been, like I said, one thing after another. So met my husband though. Great guy. After 10 years, I went on a healing journey, found, pressed more into my relationship with God and just really wanted to take some time for myself, heal, you know, from the PTSD of everything. Didn't even realize at the time that that's what it was PTSD. And just really, I did some Theophostic prayer ministry inside my church. And I thought, okay, I can handle this, right? I want a healthy, normal relationship. And so, you know, just put the petition out to God, found my husband online. And yeah, we've been together for 7 years, married for 4. And it's been an incredible journey. But the pandemic hit. And God had been nudging me to write a book about what I went through. And I'm like, there's just no way. I don't have the time. I work for a high stress industry. You know, I work an hour away from where I live. there's just no way, considering I come home, I got to take care of the husband, I got to take care of my stepson. And the pandemic hit, and God says, now is your chance. You don't have to drive back and forth to work now. So my girlfriend says, you know, you should write your book. And I'm like, who's going to read it? And she said, I will. I end up writing it. And my husband's ex-wife was my first customer.
How sweet.
Everybody laughs at that. I'm like, she just wanted to know our love story. That was it, basically. And which is fine. And I've got nothing to hide, obviously, because, you know, I tell my story over and over again. And I knew, though, that no one knows Windsor, Ontario, or very few people do, and nobody knew who I was. So out there, you know, trying to get my story out there. Just basically the story is sharing my life story, how I overcame each and every obstacle, you know, from family trauma to abuse to, you know, actually accepting somebody who actually does love you to accept that love, because that is difficult.
That's a journey in and of itself, especially when you've come from a background of where trust has been violated and broken down, and now to accept that. Yes, I can totally relate to that. Well, yeah. So that it sounds like you've had a lot of things that you've had to overcome. And, you know, that's the greatest place of authority and anointing we can walk in, because no one can take those experiences, but also the learnings that we've taken away from those opportunities to overcome. That becomes the authority that we walk in, because we know without a shadow of a doubt how to overcome them or how to walk through them. So tell me a little bit about how you started, because I know from there, you know, then you shifted into, you know, you have a few shows, but that you had a moment where you had a guest, a retired Air Force veteran, on your show. Yep. And as you began to learn about the massive suicide and divorce rate among our veterans, something happened in you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I started the show because I knew in my journey of trying to get the word out of my book, I was finding a lot of people that were in similar situations, right? They felt alone. They felt hopeless. Mm-hmm. They felt depressed. And I knew what it was like sometimes to... Some days it could be a moment-to-moment walk with God where you don't know how you're going to get through that day, but you just know that if you take one more deep breath, you're going to make it. And so that's how I started the show, Unstoppable Overcomers, to give other people a platform to be able to share their story. Because like I said, every story matters, and everybody who shares their story, it is like, you know, you're reaching your people. So with that, January 31st of 2021, I had Greg Bicknell, Air Force veteran, on my show. And this guy, you have to meet him. You have to go check out our YouTube channel and find that episode, because this guy's energy is through the roof. And you would never have known that he attempted suicide twice while he was still in active duty. And he finally got up enough nerve to go ask for help, and he was told to make an appointment. So that just lit a fire under him that said, wait, if I can't be the only one, obviously, you know. So so he was on a journey to help other veterans within that. Started Camaraderie Rescue Mission, of which I was co-chair of that organization. It's out of Lakeland, Florida, and we help veterans with camaraderie, sustainability, and, you know, just anything that they really need. We try and help them. We provide services for them. We've made partnerships to get them the help that they need. And so he told me that 22 veterans a day were dying by suicide. And I'm like, that's insane. Like,
Canada? Is that within Canada?
That was the U.S. That was the U.S. statistics. And within 6 months, those statistics doubled. Lately, I got the statistics. We did a 24-hour marathon trying to raise money for this event, for this Camaraderie Rescue Mission last year. And it was our Thanksgiving. I did it on our Thanksgiving for them. And when we looked at the stats for that, with civilians, a suicide rate was 136 people a day by suicide. As somebody who, in my immediate vicinity, I've lost 3 to suicide. That's my family, between family and friends. And so with the pandemic, with the isolation of the pandemic, that added to the numbers, obviously. But then when you're also a veteran and you're transitioning from veteran world to civilian world, there's not a lot of, you know, help for them either. And when they see their buddy blow up in the foxhole beside them, it's not like they want to go home and talk to their spouse. That's the last thing they want to do. They're trying to shield their spouse from that, right? And so they're acting out of character. Their spouse has no idea. There's no communication. The communication barrier is gone out of that marriage. And so that's why the divorce rate, 80%, 80 to 90% of all marriages in the military end in divorce. So I'm just like, okay, there's got to be something to that, because how can we help them? How can we bridge that gap? And how can we help them with that? So, and I was just like, why do I have such a kinship to these men and women? Like, I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, how can you not figure this out? It's not that I forgot that one of my uncles was actually in the Canadian Armed Forces. He retired. He retired and he moved out to Taiwan to teach English. And so I thought, okay, so there's the bridge and the gap. And then I found out that my great-grandfather was a Navy officer also in the military. And my grandfather, every time we'd go to see him in Kingsville, you know, you always have to go to the Legion, have a couple drinks with grandpa, right? That was our thing when we became of age. And so I'm like, wait a minute, I've spent my entire life either in the Canadian Legion or, you know, around people that have been serving. Like, I still have family that still serves. And I'm like, no wonder why I, you know, identify with these men and women and never just really putting two and two together. I just, that's what happens when you go through life. You just keep putting that one foot in front of the other. You're not really looking at your life. You're just going through your life, right?
It's funny how that comes around. You realize, whoa, okay, wow, this is all like the weaving of the Lord. So how, I know you have a program called HOPE, H-O-P-E, and you call it Helping Other People Evolve. Can you talk a little bit about what do you mean by evolve? Why do you use that word?
I use evolve. It's funny because I had somebody on my show, she used the word gap, and gap stood for something completely different. And I was just like, how can I use the word hope and come up with that? So I came up with helping others, other people evolve, because I think anybody who really wants to change their life, they're evolving, right? So in the town that I live in, since the pandemic has hit, we've had I don't know how many suicides by day, but it's never on mainstream media, right? No one talks about it. So let's bury the problem. And I find a lot of women dissatisfied within their job, or dissatisfied because they're not doing what they really want to do in life, right? They've been in the job it pays the bills, but they're not satisfied. And so I'm finding that people are just settling. And then I came across some other people that, this one gentleman, he lost his 10-year-old son to cancer. He's a veteran. And the one day I was talking to him, you could see the agony on his face. And he goes, you know, I just want somebody to tell me that they've been through this. And my heart stopped, and I was listening to what he had to say. And then I said to him, you know, I don't know what it's like to lose a child, but I've watched my dad die in front of me with cancer. 9 days, I watched the man that was my rock and my hero deteriorate in front of me. And he just listens to me, and he goes, oh my gosh. He goes, thank you for sharing that. And I'm like, the world just wants people to listen to them and to identify with some small part of what they're going through, or just even to listen to them.
Right? Yeah. It's so true. Sorry to interrupt you there. I just want to say it's so true. Like the smallest thing, like listening to someone, is so healing for many.
Right. And so the evolve part means, okay, so let's take you to where you're at right now in this. Sometimes it's a hopeless situation, or you feel like it's a hopeless situation, and let's help you evolve out of that into what is really going to light your world on fire, right? God has obviously given you something. you wake up each morning with a purpose, right? A heartbeat and a purpose. And you're afraid to go after your purpose because sometimes you're like, okay, what does that really mean? You know, and maybe you're afraid to take that steps towards that, or maybe you don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we come in. I do have a one-on-one, or we do have a group course that's going on right now. And we just really, let's identify where you're at. Let's identify the triggers that is keeping you where you are, the limiting beliefs, the, like, you know, what's gotten you through up till now, and creating that roadmap, especially for you to get from where you're at to evolving into where you want to be. So yeah, that's where we came up with that.
That's so good. So what are some of the things, just as we close up here, in terms of the veteran community, you know, one thing you talked about in terms of the number of suicides that are happening that are not being reported in the mainstream media, which we know there's a lot of things not being reported in the mainstream media, but the whole area of even support for veterans. I know during the 2022 trucker movement and all that happened there, and some of the veterans that were really vilified and just really kind of thrown to the side, there was a real awakening, I think, in our culture, for sure, in Canadian culture, about the lack of support there really is for the veteran community. And so why do you think that is, or has your veteran friends talked about that?
Well, okay, so 90% of whom I serve right now is in the U.S., the U.S. Military, okay. But I've reached out to Veteran Affairs Canada to try and get some ideas on why that is, right? And number one, I know within the U.S. that the VA just tries to, like, fluff you along, right? Yeah. Here's your two-week course. Take this, and this will tell you everything you need to know to go from military to civilian life, which is complete and utterly wrong. You know, mm-hmm. these men and women defend our country, and then you give them 2 weeks of your time and a booklet to say, here you go. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not right. And I also a firm believer that, okay, you train them to kill. So while you've trained them to do that, you need to give them psychological help while seeing and doing that, right? I'm a firm believer in that. And I know a lot of people that are trying to pass bills in Senate that say, hey, wait a minute, you know, let's get these men and women help while they're still on the inside so that when they come out, mm-hmm. hey, you know, we're not having this issue. And I know, from what I'm hearing from the veterans that I've heard and seen and you know, built relationships with, it's just like they're pushed along. No one cares. The VA comes along and they do the bare minimum of what they need to do. And then they got to fight for their benefits, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, like, they have to fight for every penny that comes out of their pension when they do that, right? So it's just knowing the resources are there, but no one, the average person doesn't want to go through a booklet to find out where all these are. And so that I've come across a couple groups that go, wait a minute, you know, Antonio Johnson, who is a Navy veteran, he started an app called the Bright App, which is strictly for veterans and allies like myself that can go on. He lists a bunch of different things, different trainings for the VA, or a bunch of different things that the VA can help them with. Mm. So, I mean, surrounding yourself with those type of people to get that the word out and to find out where exactly they can get this information, right? But it's just, you know, and veterans don't want to ask for help because that's not, they're trained to say, suck it up, you know, suck it up and do your job. Not, oh, and then now they don't want to ask for help because that's not how they've been taught, right? They've been taught, nope, suck it up, keep on going. And so it's very hard to get them the help they need because mm-hmm. they won't ask for it.
Right. Yeah. And they're so used to, I mean, if they've been in there for any length of time, they're so used to following instructions. And so when there's not instructions, but you got to go find out for yourself in terms of the information or whatever it might be, it's like going to a different country, you know, learning a different language, a different way of operating. So yeah, that's unfortunate that there's not more of a transition process that's you know, more extensive and compassionate towards those who really give up their lives in many ways, mm-hmm. whether it be even physically, but emotionally, and so many ways for our countries. So any final words that you want to leave with our listeners today? I know if someone wanted to find out more about your books, where can they go?
Yeah, the books are on Amazon. It's The Overcomer, Facing Challenges with Faith and Courage, and The Overcomer Playbook. Mm. They can go to my website. I think the Overcomer, Facing Challenges with Faith and Courage is on there. The playbook's not up there yet. A lot of things. I'm a one-woman show, so trying to do everything at once, right? So, but they can also go to my website, which is www.unstoppableovercomers.com, and take a look what you've got there. We've got the coaching on there. We've got the podcast on there. We've got, you know, some different stuff that we do with it to help other people within the media and things like that. So all that's up there. Definitely go check out. If you go into the coaching side, sign up for your free 30-minute consultation. Be happy to see if I can help you. If not, that's great. If I know somebody who can, I'll definitely pass you on to them. And if I can help you, that's great too. We'd love to have you here. But yeah, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, because I am short, to the point, and don't let people stay stuck in their stuff.
Which is good. People need to be called on their stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to move, right? If it's not uncomfortable, it's like there. Well, that's, go ahead, Dorothy.
No, I was just going to say, I had coaches and teachers that were like, have shaped me into who I am today, because they didn't let me stay into that. Not that I ever had a victim mentality, but it was just like, why am I going through all this, right? And mm-hmm. well, why not you, right? And so that's how I see things. We shouldn't ask why, we should say why not, right? And just keep on pressing through.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is even the power of having people in our life who mentor and who see things in us that we don't probably see at the moment, but it calls us up to a higher level. And to, you know, whether it be for you in your own life that you describe, but also for these veterans, to have other people supporting them and around them, so that we're not left to our own devices, but also we need people. That's just the way God designed us, to be in community.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, and it is funny, because I just spoke with somebody else, and my background's in finance, and, you know, the amount of women that get looked over in finance, you know, but we don't necessarily make ourselves seen. And why is that? You know, a man has no problem going in and, you know, doing certain deals and things like that. But why is it that we as women think that we can't take that step? And so it's just, you know, seeing that and thinking, oh, wait a minute, you know, if anybody can do it, I can do it. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And so just not taking no for an answer. Right. Just finding the solution. We're no different than anybody else. We just figured a way to just keep on going one more day, basically.
Yeah. So good. You know, there are studies done about that in terms of why women weren't getting more, going into higher levels of positions at a particular company. And they did a whole study on that and found that a lot of women had the training and the credentials they needed to go to that higher level promotion, but they lacked the confidence and the communication skills. And so, yeah. You know, this company, smart as they were from the results, we seem to be having a bit of an internet issue here.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much, Dorothy, for the conversation. I appreciate you, and thank you for your support alongside the veterans and those who are first responders who need that extra support, and just to know that they're not alone.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Lisa, for having me.
You are most welcome. If you're tuning in today and you something in our conversation resonated with you, I want to encourage you to share this episode, to like and to share, to let other people know that there is a place, there's hope, you don't have to do it alone, especially if you know people who are veterans or first responders who are struggling with this whole area. Reach out, say, hey, there's a place for you to be able to be heard. But also, if you are one who know that you need to up-level your skills to become all that you're called to be and to be able to have a voice, I want to encourage you to reach out, go to the description and click on the link to find out more how you can begin to up-level your communication skills. Because here's the thing, just like our guest said today, you need to ask, but you also need to be able to step into places with confidence and have communication to be able to fulfill the call of God in your life. You know, Warren Buffett said that the number one skill he invested in, that above any other investment he's ever made, was the communication skills. And it took him further than any other investment he ever made. And so I want to say to you, wherever you find yourself in now, wherever you feel like you're called to go, I want to encourage you to invest in you. Because I believe God is calling women specifically all over the globe to stand in places of influence, to be a voice, to have solutions for the world's problems. And just like our guest today stepped in with a compassion and a heart to bring a solution where there was a gap, I believe you probably have a solution that you're not even aware of. And so check out the description. We are starting up our Kingdom Speaker Academy here in another couple of weeks. And we train women, and I'm really excited about this because you know TED Talk world, right? The whole TED Talk, it's been around for decades. Well, God gave us his vision as I partnered with the founders of Girl Power Alliance to provide a platform for Kingdom speakers to be able to create and deliver a clear, concise message in 10 minutes. It's called Less Words, More Impact, Kingdom Impact Message in 10 Minutes. Why? Because communication is one of the highest paid skills, but it's one of the most valuable skills that you can ever invest in. No one can take it away. It's recession proof. It crosses all boundaries of industry. So I want to invite you to explore that. If you want to become a certified speaker, we are offering that starting in April and our first Kim 10 stage. Maybe you will be one of the people on our stage that launches this forward before we go into all different cities and states. It's called the Kim 10 stage. And there'll be a link down below. You can reach out to me and I'll give you more details. Have a great day, everyone. Make sure that you tune in next week and our next episode for another guest or to hear some amazing speaking tips to help you become the voice of influence that God has called you to be. Your voice is a vehicle and an instrument of transformation and needs to be heard. So let it be heard.